Okay, so I'm actually going to change one of the questions tonight because I sometimes you like get a much better version of a question that's like very timely. We are ushering in tonight. We are ushering 4 days of unbelievable opportunity. I'm looking at the schedule and I mourn this ball every single time I look at it. At the wonderful people of the shul, the interest that everybody has in Limud HaTorah and taking advantage of the Shavuos Yontif. And I'm just hoping that we all not only have a great time over Yontif, it is a simcha, but also it's a simcha shel Torah. It's an opportunity for every single one of us. So I when you get a Shabbos on top of it, you get a chance to go from one level to the next. And when you get a Thursday night in advance of it, so this is just unbelievable. And I'm looking forward to the whole Yontif. I'm just looking around the room. Going to have an opportunity, and Morty's going to give a shiur on Sunday. It's he's going to get, we have a Tanakh shiur every day of Yontif. We'll have a shiur in Nevi'im on Shabbos afternoon, a shiur in Ksuvim on Sunday afternoon, and on Monday afternoon a shiur, a number of shiur for the women in the as part of the symposium, which it really seems to be based around a lot of Torah sources. So as you say, we have an afternoon Tanakh shiur every day. It's Gevaldik. It's just as I'm looking at the schedule, I'm just blown away, and I appreciate the fact that on top of all the other preps, you're all here to sit and learn. So let's get roll up our sleeves and let's get started. So beforehand, when we were between Mincha and Maariv, I dealt with the question tonight as to whether there's a chiv to be Ola Regel to Yerushalayim. And so question number one is actually a build-off off that topic. We assumed the discussion from the perspective of the safety of behind Yerushalayim. But with Shavuos coming and the possibility of being Ola Regel a reality, since, of course, as we discussed last week, Har Habayis B'Yadeinu, so the age-old question has to be raised. And what is that? May one ascend Har Habayis today? And that will be question number one if you choose to go there. Question number two. I heard that a rabbi can't issue a psak unless he's over 40. Is that true? And if so, how did Ritz give you smicha? And how did the shul dare to hire you? I get a lot of funny questions. Okay, and then the last question, which I had sent out one version, I'm gonna change the question slightly because I think it's much more timely. So today I get the following email. Maybe some of you got the same email. It's from a major Jewish organization. I'm talking a super duper major, like one of the big boys. And they tell us that they put out a 32-page Shavuos compendium, similar to some of the other ones that are out, though not the same. And they feel very bad because in the middle of the book, on page 6 or 7, there is Seamus in the book. And they just wanted us to know so that people should be able to properly dispose of the Seamus. Which led me to the following question. I now have received booklets from, I think, just about every single major Jewish organization in preparation for Shavuos, the proliferation of Torah is Gevaldik. Yeshiva University sent us a booklet, Mizrahi sent us a booklet, other organizations sent us booklets flying all over the place. You know, sometimes we don't solicit the booklets. I think all the time we don't solicit the booklets, with the exception of YU, because they will only send what you need. So the question comes up like this. It costs money when people drop things off in the shul to get rid of Seamus. The shul is not a Seamus ground. And in fact, when we got rid of Seamus, when we cleaned up the shul for Pesach, we moved over 19 boxes of Seamus that did not belong to the shul. They were just left around the building. 19 boxes at $25 a box, $25 to $50 a box, it leads to a heavy chunk of change. And so here's my question for you. Let's say, for instance, this organization sends out its email, which it did. And now I have 300 copies of their chuveret that has Seamus inside. Who has the responsibility to bear the cost of the Seamus? Or is it enough for them to say, well, hey, you know, we told you? Or is it, do they have bigger responsibilities? By the way, P.S., they didn't offer to pay for the Seamus in the email I got today. But the question is, are they mechuyev? What about the people who drop off books in the shul and they say, well, you know what? I brought it here so people can use this farm. Right? They're falling apart and the covers are falling off. I brought it here. I dumped it here. I thought people... And someone told me he used this ether that I had once upon a time. who has the responsibility at that point in time? So that would be question number three. All related to Torah subjects, do we deal with the organization that prints the Seamus, and who has the responsibility to remove it? Do we deal with the question of why I'm allowed to serve as rabbi of the shul? Or do we deal with the question of whether we can go up to Har Habayis today, open up the floor, which should we start with?
The first one's the easy one. Our Rav says you can. In fact, he did.
Okay. Before you say our Rav, let's start at the beginning. You have a Rebbe. But Arav, actually, we're going to see in a moment, Arav took a very radically different approach, and we'll understand where the question comes from. In this area, we only have one Rav, because we're not as dead. This Shiloh is a lot more timely than you realize. And why is that? The tshuva I want to start with, that will set the backdrop for the whole discussion, I think I'll be fair with the entire discussion, I'll do my best, is dated Gimel Sivan. We just left Gimel Sivan and entered Dalet Sivan.
What year?
Guess. I'll give you 1 year guess. Tavshin Chav Zayin, very good. Right? Tavshin Chav Zayin, Gimel Sivan, Tavshin Chav Zayin, 1967, Yir HaKodesh Yerushalayim. The author writes, Biyoski Biyamim Eila Hifli Hashem Yisbarach Hasadav Diflosav Imanu. God did this tremendous thing for us. Gavar Aleinu Chaz. I'm reading this all out for you because Marv, this is a real wonderful beginning. Gavar Aleinu Chazdo, he showed us his chesed. Viro kol avsearetz eishi shuas elokeinu ki lo yitosh Hashem amo babur shmo agadol. Take a look. God, everyone, all the nations of the world saw that Hashem doesn't forget us. V'yatsanu me'afeilo li'orah. We were on the grounds of darkness. We were taken into the light. U'miyago l'simcha. If you were around in 67 or if you've listened to some of the radio and movie recordings, you'll see that there was blackout on news coverage. It was really me'afeilo li'orah, right? And Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo Asher Sam Nafshenu B'Chayim V'Lanasana Mot Raglenu U'Berov Rachamav V'Chasadav Zachinu Gam L'Shechruro Shal HaKotel HaMaravi. We were Zoche to have the Kotel Srid Beis Mikdashenu V'Sifartenu V'Av Kol Shetach HaRabayis V'HaMikdash Nesunim Nesunim Hema B'Chaso Shel Tom Yisrael. Even HaRabayis is in the hands of the Jewish people. Let me repeat that because somebody quoted a psak already as an easy one. I am going to think about a machlokes rabuseinu harishonim, which goes back, right? Is it okay to go up to Makom HaMikdash? And he adds, and I'll tell you who the he is in a second, the imyesh lefarsem isor bedavar, which just all of a sudden shanks exactly where he's headed in this conversation, right? If it is indeed forbidden, right, do we have a mitzvah to tell everyone it's forbidden? To hold people back from doing an aveira. The author of the tshuva is Rav Ovadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It appears in Yabia Omer Chelek Hay in the Yoredei section, Simen Chavav. Now, I am not going to discuss politics. What I am going to do is set up the entire conversation purely from a halachic standard. And there are five main reasons to argue for the responsibility to go up to Har HaBayis. And the five main reasons are as follows. And stop me if you think that I've listened to Rabbi Tendler talk about the subject. I believe all five of these reasons encapsulate his feeling on the issue, save anything political. This is his halachic discussion. There is a Ramban. The Ramban appears in his Hashmatos to Sefer HaMitzvos, and he basically argues that there's a prohibition against leaving any part of Eretz Yisrael Shmama, right? Pentia Aretz Shmama V'Rabo Alecha Chayasa Sodeh. A Jew has a responsibility not to leave a shetach, an area of Eretz Yisrael, wide open. And so, by the way, if there is a part of Eretz Yisrael where a person cannot go, so that individual is leaving the shetach, that space, wide open. That is a problem. So suggests the Ramban. There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Chaf.
There's chayas every day right now.
There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Chaf. We've quoted it on a number of occasions. It also appears in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideh, if I'm not mistaken, in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, where the Yerideh talks about where the pasuk, where we take apart a certain pasuk, and we offer three possibilities for the interpretation of the pasuk. The pasuk has two words, Lo Sechanein. right? And we've offered three interpretations what it means, and all three are quoted lahalacha. The one that is relevant over here is lo titein lahem chanaya bakarka. We're not supposed to give the nations of the world an opportunity to camp in the land. And so giving them the chanaya of Har HaBayit is a very major problem for us. And so that would be the second reason to argue in favor of having people go up to Har HaBayit. We have a third reason. The Ramban writes in his commentary on the Torah that there is a mitzvah called L'shichno Sidrashu. Right? We have a person has a responsibility to be Dorish L'shchina. We've talked about that two chaburas ago. We talked about the Sechno Sidrashu. Tzioni Dorish Eina Mechlal Deboi Drisha. A person has a responsibility to be Dorish Tzion. Do you know the end of the Pasuk? Alright? We say the Sechno Sidrashu. Vasa Shama. Says the Ramban, you know you Dorish the Shechina? This is the most obvious one in favor. You gotta go! You gotta go! And so therefore, we seem to suggest that a person has a responsibility. Ramban says, yeah, one has a responsibility to go, may eretz merchakim, in order to be able to go up. The Rambam, to switch gears, is reason number four, appears in Sefer HaMitzvah, say number five. He says that there's a mitzvah called tefillah. And how is a person supposed to achieve the mitzvah of tefillah? Well, the Rambam seems to suggest in Sefer HaMitzvah, the best place for tefillah is in the best place where it's heard, which is the Makom HaMikdash. So a person, the best place to daven is where? In the Makom HaMikdash. And if that is indeed the case, then what? Then you have responsibility to go up. Sound good? So far, so good. And then we have a fifth reason. There's a Gemara in Yevama Sandafav, where we talk about the concept of Ez Shab Sosai Tishmoru U Mikdashi Tiro. My son is a very big expert on this pasuk. It was the last pasuk in his bar mitzvah sedra, and when he got there, he was mega excited. Not just because of the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos and the mikdash, but because he knew he was able to be finished. So the Gemara in Yevamos suggests that mora is established not when you disappear. How does a person express fear of the mikdash or a reverence of a mikdash by not going there, by never being there? Mora avaim. I'll show reverence to my parents by never seeing them. Is that more of aim? No, you have to be present in order to be able to show that demonstration. And so the argument is also raised by the legitimate postgame, Rabbi Tendler and others, we'll see in a second, right? That for these five reasons, primarily, there is not only a opportunity, but perhaps a responsibility to go up to be Ola Regal. Yeah. Okay, so Rav Tzfanya Drori happens to be a major, major, major player. He is the Rosh Yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken, in Kiryat Shmona. And Rav Tzfanya is a Bogir Yeshivot Hasder, a very major Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav Tzfanya Drori, I think he's the chief rabbi of the Golan Heights, right? Anyway, he is like the number one advocate for people being going up to Har HaBayis. Moshe David Tendler, of course, certainly nobody who is a small weight in these matters. Rabbi Tendler is quoted as saying, on more than one occasion, I'm going to go back home and instruct my Talmidim and instruct my Balabatim, Dafka, to be Ola Regel, to go up onto Har HaBayis. Rav Drori goes so far as to suggest, which I didn't hear from Rabbi Tendler, he considers it a mitzvah d'oraisa. He thinks that going up onto Har HaBayis is a mitzvah d'oraisa, probably based on some of the reasoning we brought down. Rabbi Tendler, of course, feels it's a responsibility. He doesn't go that far. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechir in Perek Bav Halachi Adalid, here's where the fun starts to go into. He says that a lot of our discussion over here comes down to an understanding as to what the Kedusha of Har HaBayis is. Now remember, when we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, we talk about the fact that the Beis HaMikdash had a bias, right? But then there was a whole mountain surrounding the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's called Har HaBayis, right? We'll see that through the years that Har HaBayis expanded well beyond, which helps us, helps one side of the conversation. But this is the understanding. Now, the Rambam holds that there's Kedusha to Har HaBayis even if the Beis HaMikdash on the mountain was destroyed. This is not a chiddush to us. We just discussed this before when we entertained the possibility that there may be an understanding of a responsibility to see the Ritzpas Har HaBayis, the floor of Har HaBayis, as part of a an aspect of re'iyah for a regel. So if a person were to go on to Har HaBayis while in a state of Tumah, the Rambam holds that that person is not only in violation of a mitzvah, that violation is a serious one for which one gets kares. So according to the Rambam, going on to Har HaBayis, right, actual Har HaBayis, we'll debate the additional components in a minute, but to go on to the actual Shetach Har HaBayis, the actual plane of Har HaBayis, that would be would stick somebody with the Isser of kares. The Ravid disagrees, and he disagrees rather strongly. And he disagrees so strongly that it causes a machlokas as to what he say. Clearly, the Ravid says that it is certainly not an Isser Kares. So the question is, what is he saying? According to the way the Me'iri understands the Ravid, he says what the Ravid is saying is that the Kedusha of Har HaBayis disappears when the bias disappears. It's based on the halachic principle of Ubo Ubo Pritzim V'chiluluha. When the Goyim came onto Har HaBayis and they took out Har HaBayis, the Kedusha of Har HaBayis has been taken away, and so therefore there is no Kedusha to Har HaBayis. Ergo, a person who goes there is not in any violation whatsoever. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Binyan Tzion, he has a different position. He and others disagree. They think that what the Ravid is saying is, when Ubobok Pritzum Echeleluha happened, when the nations of the world took over Har HaBayis, there's still an Isser to go there. Just this Isser is not an Isser Kares, which sort of knocks it down a tremendous amount. So we have a Machlokas within a Machlokas. The Rambam says there's an Isser Kares to go on to Har HaBayis, the actual Har HaBayis, right? The Ravid disagrees. The question is, what does he disagree? Is he disagreeing and saying there is no problem whatsoever? Or is he disagreeing and saying there's just no Isser Kares? But that's where we're up to. Go ahead.
There is a discussion we had
part of that discussion. Obviously, the understanding is that the Ravid doesn't work with that principle. So by the way, this becomes very exciting for a lot of reasons. The Rambam also understands that there is what we call a chiyuv mora mikdash, a responsibility to have mora mikdash. And according to the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, that Rambam, together with the Rambam about the fact that there's an Isser Kares to go on to Har HaBayis proper, is true lehalacha. So the Magen Avraham, Rav Avraham Gumbiner, takes the position that if you were to walk onto Har HaBayis proper, you would be in violation of an Isser Kares. Now, the problem with that is, historically, in the Meiri's time, we seem to find that people going on to Har HaBayis all the time. So the Rav Avadya writes in his Tshuva, I don't think that that's a problem. Then when the people in the Meiri's time came into where were walking around Yerushalayim, who do you think they were? How much knowledge do you think they had? The Meiri couldn't find a minion, right? You know why? Because nobody knew how to daven. They didn't know what they were doing, so they certainly also didn't know anything. You can't bring a proof to the fact that people thought that it was okay to go on to Har HaBayis, but they were not knowledgeable, and so they weren't worried about Mora Mikdash. You go ahead. Kedusha, yeah. Oh, so maybe there's a zecher. Maybe all those other arguments that we were making before still carry some value about Pentiar et Shmama. It's at least still Eretz Yisrael. Lo titein lehem chanaya v'karka. It's at least part of Eretz Yisrael. So it's not empty and wasted totally. So in 1866, this really hit a very major crescendo. Following episode takes place, and of course the great Jewish historian Rav Ovadia Yosef gives us the information. He quotes Rav Chaim Hirschenson, who writes in the Sefer Malki Bakodesh, it appears in Chelek Aleph, page 43, he says there was a Jewish community living in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh. It was a very poor community.